member of the Unacceptables. My mind is malignant.
Today, I open up my book for all to see. The words I speak are mine alone today.
Yes.
No offenses, no pretenses, just poetry.
Welcome to Griot Silenci.
And how has the evolution of, like, your internal collaborations, how has it been changing since you first started?
I mean, getting started is the hardest part, especially for, like, a poem. Like, you gotta have, like, a kind of structure.
Uh-huh.
You can't just, like, go blindly into it.
Uh-huh.
So finding that structure that, like, I felt like resembled the poet's message and also, like, the scientific part of it was hard. But I eventually came up with that. And it started with me, like, whenever I have, like, writer's block I just, like, sit down and, like, I just literally slam on my keyboard. Like, literally type out anything. I'll think about, like, carbon nanotubes. Okay, I've seen these. And then I keep on typing. I'll type out, like, 5 pages of just random gibberish. And then I'll read it back and I'll go through it. And, like, usually there's, like, 3 or 4 ideas that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take those and I'll start piecing that around the poem. Because once you get one idea for a poem, for me especially, it's just, like, you can build a whole poem around that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get going. And, like, now I'm in, like, the 3rd page of the poem. 3rd or 4th page. And it's gotten a lot easier.
Free writing?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's a long
time. Oh, no. At the actual poem.
Oh, really?
At the actual poem, yeah.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
That is...
I have not written a poem ever, so I'm like...
Listen.
Long-form poetry is so hard, too.
I
usually write, like, my preferred form is a sonnet.
Uh-huh.
But I do free verse as well, but, like, it's usually contained within a page.
Uh-huh.
And when you have to, like, carry, like, there's, like, a sort of narrative. There's a sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know, connect. It's drawing that out to, like, 4 pages. And, like, it's got to be tight, you know? You can't feel like you're going on any tangents. Because, I mean, that when I do that, it just makes it weaker for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be contained.
I think I know what you mean. This might... So there's a professor in UTD, Nomi Stone, and I think I told you about her before. She's doing a course, a poetry course called Ways of Knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Ways of Knowing, and in this case, it's science and poetry. So basically, there's different ways of knowing the world. Scientists have their way of knowing the world. Poets have their way, you know. Priests in the church have their way of knowing their church, the world, you know. And so there was a project she did with her students where they were to take a scenario that is, what was the word? It was kind of when you suddenly see something that you've been seeing with a different perspective or with new eyes. Wonders. It was called wonders. Mm-hmm. Like when suddenly something gets a wonder. For example, when you're in class and you suddenly realize that Joe over here sitting next to you has a mom, a dad, he was born, he grew up, he had a childhood, and it's suddenly, wow, he's a whole human being.
Yeah. I have entered the Dunbar limit.
But yeah, or for example, you're walking down a road and suddenly you just notice the air on your skin or the other people walking next to you and just the universe, ways of knowing. So that's one way that I'll ask Joseph, as a poet, have you ever been working with your material and suddenly have a wonder insight? An insight of wonder is the word.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sometimes there's been like a personal breakthrough in trying to get it to do what I want to do or to see something new about it. But I don't know. I don't know if it's like an emotive response to the material or to what the stuff, the subject I'm working on, like the carbon-based materials, or if it's just kind of a response of, oh, something new. Arr. So I don't know if it's, I don't know if it falls under the kind of perspective shift you're talking about. Because it's still working within that framework of, you know, observation and input, output, is this repeatable, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that is the nature of science to make sure that you can keep on repeating things and be like, yes, okay, I stick the fork in the socket. Ow, what happens if I do that again? Kind of level of science. Mm-hmm. And perhaps to be operating in a scientific frame, you are essentially sticking that fork in that socket multiple times. And it's not the time to step back and wonder about, you know, everything behind the socket, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So the reason I ask that question is because I'm convinced, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that as a poet, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? You're taking things that are there, that nobody blinks twice about them. And you're seeing it with wonder and converting it with words so that other people can share that wonder.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are like experiencing it and maybe not directly understanding it. And then a poet takes it and it's almost like a simplification of these greater things. Like in words, I think of like the poem "The Red Wheelbarrow," you know, William Carlos Williams. He like takes this, this just plain red wheelbarrow, just describes it, but it's a beautiful poem. It's beautifully simple, and I think that what I love most about poetry. Specifically, one time my sister was sorry, this might be a little tangent, but it's on the topic.
Okay, go ahead.
My sister told me, she was like, oh, like, remember this time when you were 5 and we were playing with Barbies? Like, we had so much fun, and like, you like, like, we were all of a sudden like, you ripped off one of their heads. And I was like, Sam, I don't remember that. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Talk about unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. I'm like, I have no, like, what? And she was having this big, like, she was so, like, having this, sorry.
Moment of nostalgia.
Right, yeah, she was so happy because of it, and I had no idea, but it was my memory. It was something I did.
Right.
And I wrote a poem about it because I just thought, like, how people can contain memories of you without you being, without you knowing them. And, like, some deep, some subconscious, whatever, psychoanalytic way I remember it, and it has influenced me, but not in a way that I can remember it as vividly as she can.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that was like a moment of wonder for me, how people can have your own memories.
So in the case, actually, I'll use that example. So right now, we've discussed about like how different people collaborate, how you've experienced collaboration, within yourself. And now we're looking at how we can collaborate better, right, as a team. And your example of your sister having that memory, and also the fact that with poetry you say that it's something that people know, but the poet takes it and simplifies it. That's why, I guess that's why when people listen to poetry, it's like, yeah, I get it, you know. Actually, it's that kind of poetry that is powerful, because people can make sense. People can is the word relate? Can relate to it. People can it awakens something in them, or it awakens an understanding that they had, but they hadn't really. They didn't really have it manifested, is the word.
Yeah.
So, scientists, the universe, the world around us, it's there, everybody knows. They take it, they kind of contain it in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, equation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we've been over this before, but it's, as a scientist, I am far more the guy who wants to make the nice machines that we can all then, you know, kick back and do something else. And for other scientists, it is the act of learning, is the act of understanding that is the big draw for them. I am ultimately an engineer in attitude, which means I want to be hardworking now so I can be lazy later. So I'm understanding all these principles, so I can set something up to make like my automatic margarita machine.
So you're saying that there are two ways of science.
There are many ways of approaching science. I would argue that the broad attitudes you could probably lump into the guy who wants to make nice things, the guy who wants to understand the world and be like, oh yes. And then there's the third guy who's basically trying to be like the Catholic priest to meet chicks, where it's like, I want to be around money and riches and fame and all that stuff. And then it's like, yeah, you know, you might be around it, but you ain't touching it.
Yeah.
Right? There are some people that approach scientists, approach doing science as, oh, I'm going to have this patent, I'm going to make this device, I'm going to become rich from this kind of shit. And that's... So I suspect... Most scientists and engineers and researchers in general probably fall under one of those three broad categories. Mm-hmm. And not to say that they're wholly one or the other, but I mean, for myself and the ones that I've seen and met, I am definitely the, I would rather, I want to understand these principles of the world around me so I can manipulate it, so I can build myself a comfier hammock, you know, that kind of thing. Give me that fully automated luxury queer space communism. Star Trek. Right? But that doesn't mean I have an emotive response to like the theoretical math behind something like the Outlook Humber drive, just to, you know, continue the Star Trek reference.
Yeah. So my point was actually, and I'll connect what you said just now, but my point was, if in this collaboration we say we use the poetry that comes out to help you as a scientist see something about your work that might lead you to, depending on the type of scientist you are.
See, maybe it works for me. Maybe it does. Right. I don't know.
It might not, right?
It's always worth giving at least a shot.
And again, going back to, and we should wrap this up soon, going back to how we can collaborate in this particular story or scenario project is actually that's a question. How can we collaborate better in this particular story of poet, scientist, and in between? I'm the in between
poet, scientist, and me.
Yes.
And one of the things I thought that we should do at the end, once we have a poem and a sculpture, is to sit down and actually do an analysis, a literature analysis and an art analysis. And oh, have you read any of those art analysis stuff? Man,
I've read too much.
They dig deep.
Yeah.
It's like you wonder, was the artist really thinking that or the poet? But at the same time, it's like a sort of revelation. Maybe subconsciously they were, maybe they were not.
Yeah,
but
the poet never understands their work while they're doing it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, knowledge comes out of it, you know. So we want to sit down with the poem and analyze it, and we'll do a podcast about that. And we'll take it from there, whatever comes out, because we don't know what's going to come out from that analysis. But we'll take it from there. Same with the sculpture. But then to get to that point, we need to make a really solid, we need to improve or think of ways to improve what we're doing right now. So do you have any suggestions?
I mean, opening more lines of communication, I would say.
I don't think I knew that you were working on that home. I think that's a first start.
Okay, that is a big one.
I mean, if you're at a comfortable point to sharing that poem, I would like to read it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's in progress, but okay. I'm definitely uncomfortable with sharing parts
communication
of it.
Communication. All right, definitely. So, communication. So, I also think that we should have more discussion about how we perceive carbon nanotubes from what we've read so far.
The fanciest dirt.
It's fancy dirt, that's all.
Right.
That's the scientist perspective.
Well, he perceives it as fancy dirt. I perceive it as hair. Right? Well, yeah, but let's get into the details. Because I think one of the anxieties as an artist working in a science project is, did I get the facts right?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I'm not like, am I making this up? Is it accurate? Because you know the scientist will be like right there in the corner, like,
right,
glaring you down.
It looks like hair. I love it.
Artistic license.
Please, that's
what did I call it? I called it a tree. Not a forest. I called it a tree, I think. Where's the tree?
And you know what is interesting? There are some nanotube structures that look like trees.
Yeah.
Because they like.
Yeah, you can have them branch off.
Right.
They're not very useful because you have to address all of them or something along those lines. But yeah. I don't know. I can I speak as a scientist on that?
Yes,
like
please.
Judgment thing?
Yes, please.
Those are just the people who watched Marvel comic movies and say the physics is all wrong. They're just the fucking killjoys. I can watch a dumb movie.
Yeah.
And enjoy it for the art and the cinematography of it and not have to be like, oh, cars don't light on fire like that if you punch them.
Yeah, obviously yeah, Iron Man did not live through the otherworldly portal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like don't.
Whatever, just...
Can I encourage you now to not give a fuck? Those people are miserable and they just happen to be scientists.
Yeah. Or like marketing majors.
Here's the other thing.
Oh, marketing is just...
Some people
cancer
do...
Cancer on psycho- cancer of cancer of our society.
Yeah.
Some people do have this... again, going back to what is art science? What is art science? You know, it's
a very new field.
Like we don't know.
Figure it out.
We don't know, but we do know what it's not, and it's not just. We know what it's not just, and what it's not just is just hiring an artist to do the cover page of your Nature magazine. Based on your article, it's not just that. I mean, it encompasses that, but it's not just that. And I think it's important to kind of get rid of that mindset that it's just a pretty thing, you know. Oh, it's pretty. No artist wants their work to be pretty wall pictures.
Yeah.
You know, like no artist and no poet wants that for their poem either.
Something on the wall of the dentist office.
Yeah,
spruce it up, you mean?
So, yeah, I guess it depends on what the artist or the scientist want from that. For me, I want like it to go forward into an insight within science. So I want it to be like I mentioned this word before, art as the method of research.
Yeah. Art as a method of inspiration for scientific research.
There is also inspiration. But I want it to be the actual method of research. This podcast is going too long. Do you have anything else?
I don't know.
I'm not sure yet.
On how we can better collaborate?
I think... like a ping back every now and then of like, hey, we're working on this, and hey, we're working on this.
Okay.
I mean, have you seen the setup that Ian was working on up until like today?
No. Wait, which one?
The art.
I don't.
The glass
the bulb.
Thing.
The
bulb.
Glass bulb. You're not. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you not doing that anymore?
No, it's there. It's there. I haven't shown you guys the sculpture though. It's in my car. I'm still trying to figure out how to make it stand. I was at Home Depot
the
yesterday.
The wire hair one?
Yeah, the wire hair one.
Okay.
I have like a sequence of hair types in kind of like a string, but it's so long, it can't just stand straight. So I'm trying to find a way to kind of curve it around. And then later on, we'll find a way to put the bulb or incorporate it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so communication, definitely
very
discussion
important.
On like... the concepts we're working with, so we can plan another day to have that discussion, and I think that another way would be kind of going into each other's work. So kind of tell me the problem. And I read this somewhere. It was kind of mind-blowing, obvious, but mind-blowing. But it was an article by the guy who wrote Einstein's Dreams, something Lightman, Alan Lightman. And he said that in physics or in science, what they did is you have to pose a question. If there's no question, there's not going to be a solution. But there has to be a question. It has to be a well-defined question. And it might take a day, it might take 10 days, or it might take a year, or it might take 10 years. But as long as the question is there, the answer is going to manifest itself. Oh, very interesting. So as what you're working on, your poem, or your science, or my sculpture, do you have a question? Can you define that question and then kind of share that question with the rest of the people in the group and see we can kind of try to immerse ourselves in each other's art or science. Science is an art. We can immerse ourselves science and kind of try to solve that question. So that. And also just perhaps just like bouncing back and forth. Okay. I mean, all this takes time, and it might not, we might not get it to the full possibility with this project, but the important thing is whoever does a project similar to this in the future is gonna listen to this podcast and thank us. But yeah, it's knowledge that we can pass on and share. So I really appreciate both of your time. You guys are amazing human beings and amazing professionals. Thank you.
Yay.